the world. I'm John Batchelor with Malcolm Holine, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. We're very pleased to welcome our colleague, Hanim Gadar, the Friedman Senior Fellow at the Washington Institute's Linda and Tony Rubin Program in Arab Politics, writing most recently about the targeted killing of a Hamas gangster named Al-Haruri operating in Beirut, and how this is a challenge not only for Hamas, they've lost one of their big bosses, but also for Hezbollah, that presents itself as the protector of Beirut, the protector of Lebanon, the protector of, oh, I don't know, the solar system. Hanim, you've written this presents challenges. How so? Are they the same challenge or different? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you too, John, and thank you very much for having me. This is definitely one of the most challenging episodes for Hezbollah in Lebanon and for Hamas as well. I think, let me just say that to describe the importance of Al-Haruri for Hamas and for Hezbollah, he is, for Hamas, the equivalent of Imad al-Maghniyi for Hezbollah. Imad Mirniyi was the main commander and when he was assassinated by a joint CIA Mossad operation in Damascus in 2008, Hezbollah lost its most successful commander. And they since then, they haven't been able to actually to declare any victory in the region or against Israel. And their strategy shifted drastically. And Hamas today, by losing Al-Haruri, is kind of same loss. It's very equivalent to that kind of loss. And I also make this comparison because as Mirniyi was Hezbollah's main link to the Iranian regime and the IRGC, Al-Haruri was also Hamas's main link to the Iranian regime and the Quds Force. The difference is that Hezbollah still has these connections. Hamas has a different relationship with Iran. Hamas is more of a proxy or a client of Iran. Hezbollah is anyway part of the IRGC's Quds Force. So it didn't really change that relationship. But for Hamas, they don't have that kind of person who can fill the shoes of Al-Haruri in terms of the trust that he has, that he enjoyed when it comes to the Quds Force and the Iranian regime. So it's a big, big loss. And this constituted a challenge for Hamas in this sense. For Hezbollah, this operation happened, the assassination happened in the middle of Dahi, which is the southern suburbs of Beirut, known as Hezbollah's stronghold. And it took place in an apartment that was probably provided by Hezbollah to the Hamas leadership. And this is a direct hit for Hezbollah in the sense that it hit their headquarters, their stronghold. And in Lebanon, especially after Nasrallah threatened Israel of any assassination taking place in Lebanon, so they feel they have they're embarrassed now if they don't respond. And two, Al-Haruri for Hezbollah was very important. And in Lebanon, everything that was taking place in the recent months in terms of Hamas and Hezbollah taking over the Palestinian decision in Lebanon, in the Palestinian camps and within the Palestinian factions that are very active in Lebanon, in the past few months, even before October 7, which led all the way to the Battle of Ain Helwe that was happening right before October 7, Al-Haruri was a big important element, the leader of these operations that were happening inside the Palestinian refugee camps in Lebanon and within the factions, leading Hamas and Hezbollah efforts to take over the Palestinian decision from Fatah. And Hezbollah relied on him heavily in terms of any operations and any attacks that they want to launch against Israel in the south, but Hezbollah doesn't want to claim them, so they get Hamas to do them sometimes. And Al-Haruri was very important to Hezbollah in that sense. The challenge is that they can't respond at this point. They cannot because it's not in Iran's interests. Hezbollah today is not prepared for war, and Iran doesn't really want Hezbollah to go to war now because they don't want them to lose their assets for the sake of a Palestinian figure. they are prepared for Hezbollah to lose their assets to protect Iran and only Iran, not Palestine or the Palestinians, and definitely not Hamas. And when I talk about these assets, I mean, you know, going full-fledged war against Israel, using the precision-guided missiles that they haven't used yet, using the Redwan forces infiltration strategies that they haven't used yet. These are not to be used to defend the Palestinians or Hamas. Iran made it very clear to Hezbollah that these are the protective front for the Iranians, and Hezbollah will only be engaged if Iran feels threatened.
Malcolm. Well, so let me ask, how seriously do you take Nasrallah's threats of retaliation, which we've heard so often, and how seriously do the people of Lebanon today take them and view the role that Nasrallah and Hezbollah is playing?
Well, I wouldn't discard them completely, because he is too embarrassed not to respond. His image as a Hezbollah leader and Hezbollah's resistance rhetoric has been hit drastically in the past few months. The fact that it took him a month to say anything after the Gaza war, the fact that when he spoke, he basically threw the Palestinians under the bus and said, "This is not my war. I'm not going to be, you know, part of the resistance axis in this war." His image and the resistance rhetoric has been hit really, really hard. And now Dahiya has been hit. His own home has been hit. So he's not going to let it go, but he doesn't want a war. So I would say that the response is going to be different than what's going on the border today. There might be some kind of an operation outside Lebanon, in Europe, in Latin America. We heard a few days ago that a couple of Lebanese and Syrians were arrested in Argentina because they were preparing some kind of operation against Israelis. And this is something that they would do. They might, you know, hit something inside Israel that is different. But anything that they would do, anything that would fall short of a trigger for a war. Israel is more ready for a war, and they know it. But they also, Israelis also do not really, really want to engage in a war with Hezbollah at this point. They're still focused on Gaza. So they will respond at least, you know, deeper attack somewhere, but they would choose something that Israel would absorb. They will not do anything that Israel would see as a war trigger. And they understand the rules of the game now. They're not really prepared for this. So I think, but no matter what they do, no matter what Hezbollah decides to do, no matter what the Americans decide to do, if it's not going to be an equivalent response, a meaningful response, their image is already hit. It's not going to recover from this. And they do have a problem that they know that Israel is prepared for a war. Israel has been hitting them every day. You know, before Aruri, the Iranian Quds Force commander Mousavi was killed in Damascus by Israel. And then Aruri, and yesterday also late at night, right after Nasrallah's speech, which was a direct message to him, Israel also targeted and assassinated Hussein Ghazi, who is number two in the south, a very high-ranked military commander with four of his bodyguards. This is huge. And today, al-Nujabah, head of the Nujabah in Iraq, has been killed by the U.S. So it's they are in a way where the messages are coming every day that we are going to target you and you don't dare do anything.
Hanin Gadar is the Friedman Senior Fellow at the Washington Institute, Malcolm Holine, Conference of Presidents. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.